Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. For who hath despised the day of small things? The other side of what Brother Bill was talking about, being raised up in pride and say, we are somebody. We've got the truth. We know better than everybody else. I'm sure that there have been those who have been guilty of that. But nowadays, there may be those that are guilty of being ashamed and embarrassed by the weakness and the feebleness of a day of small things. I remember back in the 70s in Cedar Rapids when there were many souls that had gotten saved and were being gathered out. I heard from brethren from a distance, this can't be of the Lord. It's a day of small things. I was astonished to hear such a thing. Well, we're told not to despise that, not to despise the day of small things. This portion with Zerubbabel and what Zerubbabel did, and what God was able to do, I was talking earlier with a brother, and we were talking about this. There was this restoration. There was this revival, if you would, in Zerubbabel's life, in the midst of a great deal of failure. And certainly, it ought to be obvious to us that as we look around at Christendom, there is a great deal of failure, but amongst us as well. I often think about those words, we and our fathers have sinned. We have fallen short of the responsibility that's been given to us. If we speak of those early brethren, like Mr. Darby and those in that day, he was 26 years old in 1926, 27 in those days when those first new things were being wrought. And some of the other brothers from that day were in their 20s. I remember as I grew up thinking and hearing about Mr. Darby and others, I always thought of somebody with gray hair, somebody like, I used to think like Brother Lundeen or somebody like that. No, these were young men. And I don't know how old Lady Powerscourt was, but she wasn't very old either. And when she hosted the prophecy conferences in her castle, in her home at that time, and the energy of those different ones that went about. But here we are, many, many years later, and it was said in England at one point, in the first 50 years of this renewal, this revival, this restoration that took place, it was said in the newspapers that these Christians, these brethren, these Plymouth brethren, turned the world upside down, like the early first century Christians did. Well, is that going to happen today with us? Well, I remember thinking, I'd being very upset and talking with my dad about it. How can somebody say that something must not be of the Lord because this is the day of the small things? They said, how can they say such a thing, being upset? But over time, I remember thinking about it and saying, well, I'll just leave that with the Lord. And that's what my father said, just leave it with the Lord. Don't worry about it. But I came to think about it this way. How about if we let God decide how small is? If we have been given an exercise or something to do, whatever it might be, brother was telling me today, he says, what God has given me to do, it's not necessarily what he's given you to do or another, not exactly, maybe. We can look at one another. We can look at someone who in faithfulness goes off. I was telling our brother here when I read his emails from Malawi, I'm encouraged by that. The Lord hasn't called me to go to Malawi yet, but I'm encouraged by what's going on over there. When I hear about Brother Bill's trips over to Romania or to India and different things like that. I want to know about those things. I like to hear about those things. It encourages me in my heart. When Brother Buchanan goes to South America, or anyone, when I hear about those things and the ways in which the Lord has led you, and you have found joy in that, in serving Him in some way, it encourages my soul. It encourages me on. Because I look at it and say, I'm nobody. I'm a nothing from nowhere. I was just a farm boy raised in Iowa. You know what, though? If He can use the mean and base things, I love that scripture, that He chooses not necessarily the high and mighty, but some of the base and low things. He does. And He's willing to use even the least of us, the weakest of us, the feeblest of us. He can use a little boy and a little girl. You know, I wrote on Prayer and Praise some time ago about a Baptist minister that I've spent some time with and got to be friends with. He's been very discouraged and depressed and even angry with the Lord. And we've spent time together and we've gotten to know one another and he's made some progress. But I put a little note out on Prayer and Praise and asked if different ones would pray for him, if different ones would maybe write him. And there were those that have. And he's come a long ways. But you know what touched him more than anything that was ever written to him? Was a little girl from this assembly who wrote a short little note to him. I don't even know if she's eight. Is she 8 years old? Where's Alex? They gone? Kiki? His daughter? How old is she? How old is she? Is she eight? She wrote a little note in her scribbly hand on a card with her mom and dad, and he got it. And he brought that to lunch with me one day, and he says, look at this. And he was in tears. A little girl who wrote a little note to somebody she doesn't know. But the Lord used that. That encouraged me, that I could see that. There is a lot to do. If anybody tells me there's nothing to do, I say, you're nuts. Your eyes aren't open. There's plenty to do. Now, what the Lord may have you to do about what's available is another thing. But there's plenty that can be done for anybody in any corner that you're in. And if the Lord can say to Zerubbabel that He's going to make a mountain like a plain, and if He says that His Spirit can do something where flesh and the might and the natural strength cannot, what's the difference today? We're not going to see what took place in the 1820s. We're not going to see what took place in the Acts. But let's let God decide how small is. It's a day of small things. Well, there's a Sunday school song about you and your small corner and I in mine. That's great. But if I can be in my small corner and find something to put my hand to that the Lord is pleased to lead me into, to lead a soul to Christ, to encourage another to come alongside, I'll tell you one need there is. There's a big need for somebody just to come along and put their arm around somebody's shoulder and say, dear brother, dear sister, let's come along together. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. Assemblies that are going through difficulties because of things that have gone on, people who have been wronged, whether it's right or wrong, whichever side somebody may be on in an assembly where there's difficulty, there's still a need for people to come alongside like that and put their arm around one another's shoulders, and even if you disagree with somebody. You know, in the Old Testament, we have this expression of these days of prayer and convocation where the Israelites came together. I've often wondered if we had more of those, what the Lord might do. That if next time when there's a difficulty in the local assembly where we're at, and we can't seem to come anywhere with it, and maybe that's everybody's fault or one side or another, it doesn't matter. If we would just come before the Lord and just get on our faces and ask His help what He might be able to do. You know, one of the biggest problems amongst any group of Christians anywhere or any individual believer is to hold an offense in your heart against someone else. If you hold an offense in your heart, it's a spirit of unforgiveness. The Bible says in Hebrews that a root of bitterness can spring up, and because of that, many can be troubled. many can be affected. Well, the spirit of unforgiveness, how can you and I not forgive a brother or sister for whom Christ died? One brother put it like this. He said, you know, maybe it'd be good if each one of us would be dangled over the pit of hell for a few minutes just to be reminded of what we've escaped. Because one thing is true. Whatever I know about you or that I think is wrong with you, I can make a bigger list about myself. If I'm going to sit down and I sit down at a desk with a pad of paper and start listing what's wrong with me, I can make a better and longer list than I can about you. I need to remember that. And if I get hardness in my heart towards you, I was telling a sister today as we were talking, I said, you know what the Lord rings in my mind when I begin to think that way about somebody else? I think I need to straighten them out or I need to do something. Here's the words that I hear. I believe from the Lord. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. My grandfather told me that years ago, Thomas Patterson from Regina. He said one brother up there had staying away from meeting. He went out along the field one day and this brother hadn't been coming for some time. He was offended and he went out and stopped along the road and walked out to the tractor in the middle of the wheat field and they began to talk and he listened and listened, and this brother was going on about this and that and this and the other thing that had happened. And he says, I know, brother. And he got down to the end of it, and I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like, well, what has the Lord done? You and I profess to believe that the Lord Jesus is in the midst there. What has he done to offend you? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That application can be made. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Every division that's ever taken place has happened because beforehand there have been cracks already there because of offenses that people have held. One brother in evangelical circles said that the Lord led him through a deep exercise of soul because of an offense he held against another man who had offended him greatly, who had wronged him, who had even lied. But he says as the Lord brought him through his exercise of soul, even though he had been the one that was wrong, he had begun to have hard thoughts, and he said evil thoughts in his own heart. And he said, that's sin. And he said over time, he tried to forgive this man in his heart and go before the Lord. He said he wasn't able to until the Lord spoke to him and asked him to go see this man. And so he went to this man. And he said to this man, I sinned against you in the hardness of my heart. I have thought wicked things against you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. The man that had been wronged went and did this. And he said this brother broke down in tears and confessed his sin against him. And they were restored. And since that time, he has said he has spent time delivering that message in different places around the world when he has opportunity. And he said that often people weep and come and talk to him or write him a letter and tell him that I never realized that this was the very thing that has held me back all of my life. My hard thoughts and a held offense in my heart against a brother or sister, maybe a family member or whatever. That can hold back blessing. That can hold back something the Lord is trying to do. Who am I? Who am I to have that kind of a situation? We can't do much about an offense that first comes. You know, the Lord Jesus said offenses would come. So if somebody does something to me and it's wrong and I'm hurt, that initial reaction is one thing. But if I go to the Lord and I take it to Him, and I really take it to Him and I take it from Him, it isn't easy. Nobody ever said it was easy. But if I really get before the Lord about it and take it from Him, and I can let it go, then there will be no further damage to my own soul. And if I can go at some point and seek to be restored to my brother or my sister, then a breach will be healed, and maybe further damage down the road or a root of bitterness that can spring up and trouble many will be avoided. But even though those things go on, and there are problems in assemblies and so on, we can pray and we can seek the Lord. But individually, as Brother Bill was talking about, there's still a path. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. We can't take a break from that and say, well, there's trouble, there's difficulty, there's a mess, so I'll just put that on the side. There is still a path that we can take to walk with the Lord and to do that which He would call us to do. There are souls all around us lost and going to hell. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that are feeble and weak and need somebody to put their arm around them. I don't remember what brother taught me this, but years ago, someone spoke in my ears and said, there's one thing to come and go face to face with somebody and say, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to straighten you out. It's another thing if you come around the side and you come alongside like this and you say something like, what can I do to be a help to you? That's a whole different thing than trying to straighten somebody out. What is that to thee? Follow thou me.